Well, happy Christmas week. I hope you had a better weekend than the Lions did, and we'll talk about that coming up. Lomas Brown Jr. will be here, Detroit Lions legend, co-host of Sports Wrap with Lomas Brown and Anthony Bellino, weeknights at 6. But we'll talk to him here on the program at about 1:18. Lots more scheduled between now and then. Lots more to talk about than just the sad story of the Lions. But in an uplifting way, since it's Christmas week, last day, as far as I know, of Hanukkah, and in advance of December 26th, starting Kwanzaa, we're sending out our Christmas card from my family to yours, the way I come to you and have for many, many years, over the radio. So this is our traditional letter to a friend, read by my late father, William D. Smith, our Christmas card to you.
I salute you. I am your friend, and my love for you goes deep. There is nothing I can give you which you have not got, but there is much, very much, that while I cannot give it, you can take. No heaven can come to us unless our hearts find rest in today. Take heaven. No peace lies in the future, which is not hidden in this present little instance. Take peace. The gloom of the world is but a shadow. Behind it, yet within our reach, is joy. There's radiance and glory in the darkness, could we but see. And to see we have only to look. I beseech you to look. Life is so generous a giver, but we, judging its gifts by their covering, cast them away as ugly or heavy or hard. Remove the covering and you will find beneath it a living splendor, woven of love, by wisdom, with power. Welcome it, grasp it, and you touch the angel's hand that brings it to you. Everything we call a trial or a sorrow or a duty, believe me, that angel's hand is there. The gift is there, and the wonder of an overshadowing presence. Our joys, too, be not content with them as joys. They, too, conceal diviner gifts. Life is so full of meaning and purpose, so full of beauty beneath its covering, that you will find earth but cloaks your heaven. Courage then to claim it, that is all. But courage you have, and the knowledge that we are pilgrims together, wending through unknown country, home. And so at this Christmas time, I greet you. Not quite as the world sends greetings, but with the profound esteem and with the prayer that for you, now and forever, the day breaks and the shadows flee away. Merry Christmas.
A Merry Christmas greeting to you from the entire Smith family and the Focus family, Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, that's the core, but we are also joined by Dave Rieger, Marie Osborne, and of course the help of Ann Thomas and my Kim Smith, always working hard for you and taking a moment during this holiday season, Christmas week, to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas. And whatever you celebrate, know that we're right there with you, along with our relentless positive radio. I'm withholding conversation, Mr. Parsons, on the Lions because there's just so much to say. It was a gallant fight at the end, too little, too late, and shouldn't have been in that position, and should not have had the game decided by the stripes.
Yeah, well, and all I'm going to say is, I'm not sure if I want to watch that game on Christmas. I don't know if I want that aggravation, and I'm not even talking about the Lions. I mean, they had a terrible third quarter, and I don't even really have a problem with the pass interference call on Amon-Ra St. Brown. He did push off, but I've watched that Isaac Tesla pass interference call on the what would have been the game-winning touchdown to Amon-Ra St. Brown a couple of plays earlier.
Just didn't happen.
It didn't. They actually made contact with Tesla, and it's getting to a point where it's becoming unwatchable to me having these referees determine the outcome of the game. It seems week after week after week.
You're right, and it isn't right. And I don't know what's going to happen to fix that. It'll have to happen, I guess,
right,
in the
off-season. Yep.
And the owners will have to all speak up, and I don't know if they will. But right. We'll talk about that with Lomas, and we'll talk about a lot of other things. And coming up, we start off with Congressman Tim Walberg on this Monday Christmas week, December 22nd, 2025, at WJR. Stay with us. Always a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the Paul W. Smith Focus Show. Not just because he's a congressman, Republican from the 5th District, but he is such an honestly good person. And over the years, I think, become a good friend. It is Congressman Tim Walberg. And I'm so glad we've got you on just days before Christmas. And on this, I think it's the final night of Hanukkah. And then come December 26th, we'll start Kwanzaa. So it's a festive holiday time. I can't think of anyone better to talk to from Washington than you, sir. Congressman, welcome.
Well, I feel welcome, and thank you for those kind words. And yes, it's a privilege to have you consider me a friend, because you're a friend of so many people. And we thank you for that and all of the good broadcasting you've done, as well as hand-holding and counseling, too, at times on your program. So it's good to be with you.
Well, nice of you to recognize and to reciprocate. And we've got a lot going on. The Justice Department has released thousands of files about the convicted sex offender, Jeffrey Epstein. There's more to come. There's just so much of it, I guess. And we're seeing basically why the Democrats didn't do this on their own, because they find their president, Clinton, I mean, he was all of our presidents, but the Democrat President Clinton is found in far more compromising positions than the president they want to unseat, which is President Trump.
You're right, Paul W., and that's probably why for 4 years, when they controlled the House, the Senate, and the White House, at least for a good portion of that time, Epstein wasn't an issue, and they weren't bringing it up. And we always thought that probably Trump was safe because there was nothing in there, or else they would have brought it out. It's sad to think that, and I say this in a dictionary definition of a man suffering a deep perversion, being Epstein himself, drew other people into his sphere of influence, and the amount of lives that he impacted in such negative ways, young people who were brought into just a terrible situation. But now, with all of the documents being released, a lot of people, I think, are saying, is that all there is? We knew probably you'd see Bill Clinton there. In a hot tub or swimming pool. We thought probably you'd see Donald Trump, because he was a friend until he wasn't a friend of Epstein when he threw him out of his golf club because of the type of guy he proved to be. We thought we'd see some other named individuals, but after all the brouhaha that's gone on with this, is this all there is? And so we'll see. It'll continue for a while. The Justice Department is demand is to release more, and they will be releasing more, trying to keep victims from being further victimized, but nonetheless doing what now the law says, and the courts to this point in time have restricted them, but now they aren't. So we'll see what happens, but we have a lot more we could do, and with what we've done in Congress this past year, it seems a lot longer, but it's only been a year, with one big beautiful bill, with rescission packages, with the bill we passed last week on restructuring our permitting process to make it speedier. It's called the Speed Act, and yet still take environmental concerns in place. We can ramp up what we do in this country, and hopefully the affordability will be dealt with, because people are going to be more successful in jobs and having more jobs.
Well, and I want us to get off the Epstein thing, to tell you the truth. I mean, this is just a diversion that they've put up to try to throw Trump out, rather than spend any time at all fixing this country and fixing the problems that we have. So the One Big Beautiful Bill has done that. I've talked to friends. I work with UHY. What a great company. Gone all the way back to Tony Frabatta and all the great people that are there now. But my point is, people are coming out after getting their taxes looked at and finding out they're going to get some money back that they weren't getting before from the so-called Big Beautiful Bill. We've got President Trump unveiling plans to lower prescription drug prices. We all know that that's necessary and important.
It is. It is extremely important, and it's important to know that we are the R&D for the rest of the world on pharmaceuticals. What we have available to us, no other country in the world has available, but for the fact that America has done its work. We also have laws in this country that allow pharmaceuticals to be sued, doctors to be sued, and when they need to be sued, they should be sued, but they have to prepare, even when they're not being sued, with the high costs of malpractice, liability insurance, et cetera. And so that goes into the mix. But I think the president has said, even with that, there are countries that are freeloading, so we're going to make a most favored status nation type experience where we're not going to charge for some key drugs and pharmaceuticals any more than what we would charge another country for that same drug, which will provide significant reductions in costs. And I think even more so, make those countries step up the plate as well and pay their fair share. So we'll see what happens, but Trump is always looking for some game that will provide better outcomes for the American taxpayer and American citizen. And also, he's gutsy enough to do things that other presidents have feared doing, because there's always some upheaval and change. But if you don't do those things to change, such as the trade policies, it'll stay the same way. And America will continue to have those weights around our ankles. We're still leading the pack, but it's getting more difficult. So some of those things causes disruption. But then when the disruption has had its ultimate result, we find ourselves getting better. And I think you'll see after the first of the year more testimonies of dollars in the pocket. You think of the wait staff that now will not be paying tax on tips. Overtime workers won't be paying on overtime. And some of us old geezers that are out there that are paying tax on our Social Security.
I was just going to say.
We're not going to be paying.
So. Which is so fair. I mean, and I love the movements on local basis of getting rid of property taxes, for example. You buy a house and you got a mortgage. Now do you need to pay extra money too? And if, God forbid, you get to a certain age and you pay the house out, you're still going to have to pay because of those property taxes. Some states have gotten away with no state income taxes. The more we get rid of taxes, the better life would be. And I see our president understanding that. Now he's going after the wind farms, which really, I mean, they sound good, but they're not really cost effective. They don't make sense, although I have taken to calling him Donald Trump Quixote. Don Quixote, you know, He was fighting the windmills, and a lot of his enemies were completely imaginary but completely real to him. And in Don Quixote's world, he too is fighting not just for himself but for the good of all humanity. So I do believe that's what this president is doing.
He is. And you know, I see windmills, in fact, in Hillsdale County in my district, of all places, in line sight of Hillsdale College, that conservative bastion. But there are windmills and solar farms that are popping up. And yet, because of Trump saying, listen, you can have all of the above energy plan, but we're going to encourage our companies like DTE and consumers to keep their gas-powered plants, keep their coal-fired plants for the meantime, and develop their nuclear power, because that's where the base loads come from. That's where these data centers will get the vast amount of energy they need, which will, in the end, in many cases, help bring the cost for normal consumers down in their energy bills. But it is big energy that we need to stay ahead of the world. And a windmill doesn't do it. A solar field doesn't do it. They can add certain things, but they aren't that base load that we need. And also, to the negative, when you put those in farm fields, all of a sudden the other farmland around that farmers are trying to lease goes up in lease values, and it makes it more difficult for agriculture too. So I think Donald Trump sees what was done by mandate from government in the last administration and is trying to push away from that as much as possible. And in the end, I think it'll provide a great amount of success.
Congressman Tim Walberg with us, and we always ask for this, but it's especially important on this day, the last day night of Hanukkah. It is Christmas week. Kwanzaa comes December 26th. if you could give us, I always say once a pastor, always a pastor, sir, if you could give us your blessing for this holiday and end of the year.
Well, what a privilege. And for those, yes, that are all celebrating everything from Kwanzaa to Christmas to Hanukkah, and think of the Jews that have gone through such terrible things in recent days. Think of Australia and other places. It's just terrible. So this is a world that's torn up a bit, isn't it, Paul W.? And we need a hope. So thank you. Let me pray. I pray to my Heavenly Father, who also on the first Christmas sent his only son to be our Savior, to come to this sin-sick world then and now. And God, one of his names was Wonderful Counselor, along with Prince of Peace. And how we need that peace, but how we need good counsel, because our world is wild, it's beat up, it's frustrated. We have economic challenges, we have wars going on, we have rumors of wars, we have all sorts of criminal activity at times, we have frustrations in our schools, you name it, families that have broken down. God, we would ask at this time of year, you would be the Wonderful Counselor that we would turn to find answers, and that we'd be humble enough to say, if you created us, you designed us, you have those answers, and we will accept those. And that begins with faith in a God who loves and cares for us. And may we love and care for our friends and neighbors, regardless of creed, of national origin, that we'd be people we identify ourselves with love and a counsel that comes from you. Thank you. And we ask you to bless. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen.
Congressman, Pastor Tim Welberg, Merry Christmas, sir. Thank you so much for being with us as always.
To you and yours and the listeners as well. Thank you.
We continue. Paul W. Smith, In Focus, WJR. I'm not bloviating, I'm not exaggerating when I say this radio station, thanks to the leadership, is the most philanthropic radio station, I think, in the country. When you think about the number of fundraisers we've had over the years, headed up by any number of us, air personalities, and with new people coming in, they're taking over and doing the same thing. And it's important. So under the leadership of Steve Finitieri, our boss, who allows us to do these things that don't make any money for the radio station, but make money for the community and those in need, you can imagine how we embrace and understand when other people are out there making money. And I am so thrilled to find that together, Ford Philanthropy and Global Giving have crossed the $100 million mark in local communities around the world. They're the first. Ford is the first corporation to hit $100 million in global giving. No one happier about that than all the hardworking men and women at Ford Motor Company and the man representing them now, Mike Schmidt, the Director of Economic Mobility and Global Community Programming at Ford Philanthropy. And I know how proud Mary Culler is, president of Ford Philanthropy, and how proud you are, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Paul W. And, you know, you're right. It really is a testament to the employees and the whole Ford Motor Company. You know, our work goes far beyond just providing financial support and grants, although that's really important. We really try to serve as a true force multiplier to help our communities. And so we try to tap the expertise of our employees, the global reach of our dealer network, which, as you know, is in thousands of communities around the world, and really tap the power of our vehicles to bring mobility to bear when we're trying to help people in times of need. So, yeah, we are extremely proud of this milestone.
Well, you mentioned the dealers, and I'm glad you did, because they're a very important component of all of Ford's success, or for any OEM, because the dealers, frankly, are the first customers. They're the ones who buy the cars from you, then we buy the cars from them. I mean, let's face And back to Ford, your approach, because I've been around a long time, your approach has always been about vision, not about quick fixes, Mike.
Right. Absolutely. And that's, you know, that vision really came to bear this year when we launched an initiative I know you know well called Building Together, which really has formally brought the Ford enterprise together with our dealer network around the world. So what we're trying to do now is coordinate our giving. And so if Ford Philanthropy is making a grant in the community, we're also reaching out to our dealer in that area to see how they can support it with their employees or even sometimes with their vehicles. And it really has brought a force and a power to our investments. And it really makes a difference in the community when we're all coordinating together. Because, you know, the thing a lot of people don't realize is dealers are really involved in their local communities. They're extremely active, and they're really pillars of their local communities. And so we're just trying to really leverage that power and that expertise to make a difference.
Well, I have to tell you, that $100 million is an incredible achievement. But really, and from being around, as I've said earlier, and knowing so many people around Ford at every level, the true measure is how Ford brings the full power of Ford Motor Company, your employees, your dealers, right. We've talked about your vehicles. You bring them all together to have the greatest impact, Mike, and that's not easy. But congratulations, because that's what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. No, it hasn't been easy because, you know, Ford is in so many communities around the world. But we've really seen it's making a difference this year as we're coordinating a lot better than we ever have before.
Well, I can't tell you, and I've said it before, I'll say it again and again, how lucky we are to have those dealers as our neighbors and to have Ford Motor Company, truly the hometown car maker in every way. I mean, there are people named Ford that work at that business. It's Absolutely. Not just on the cars. It's not just on the buildings. It's the very people. And when you have people like that, not to say that General Motors or Stellantis doesn't have people who've been around a long time and feel the same kind of pride, but there is something special, I think, and different about the family relationship, which carries over into all of us thinking of Ford in this respect as the hometown company.
Absolutely. You know, when I joined Ford, the thing I noticed right away was there's something different about this company. I mean, when a lot of companies say that giving back to the community is in their DNA, but at Ford, we really mean it. And it's really true. And what I found was really interesting is, of course, we've been in the U.S. for 122 years. But when we started even moving outside the U.S. to give, the thing that I thought was really interesting is the thing that's in common in every community that I visited around the world. These are people from different economic backgrounds, different cultures, was that real passion for giving back to their local communities. I mean, it really is in our DNA, and I think that's what makes Ford a really different company. And you're right, a real hometown company.
Well, you've never turned away from the hometown. You always have a laser focus on the hometown while you continue to do great things around the world in all of the communities you're represented, whether it's safe driving lessons in Manila, student-led right. change-making in Madrid. I mean, come on, there's so many stories of what would have to be proof of that ripple effect of the $100 million and what that has set in motion, showing how Ford's visionary approach has fueled creativity, has fueled dignity, has fueled strength in communities worldwide. This is a very big deal.
Absolutely. You know, a great example of that, this past September, we worked alongside our global dealer network to raise over 2 million meals for our global communities. And that was really led by our dealers in every community, raising, you know, creating food banks and delivering food to people in need. So it was actually the world's largest food drive.
Wow. Yeah. The world's largest food drive. That's saying
That's
a lot.
Right.
Well, congratulations to you and all of the individual hardworking men and women at all levels at Ford Motor Company who you represent as the Director of Economic Mobility and Global Community Development at Ford Philanthropy. Please give our best to Mary Culler and, of course, our best to you, Mike Schmidt. And thank you very much. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. It ends today. And happy Kwanzaa. We celebrate them all. Why wouldn't we?
Absolutely. Happy holidays to you, and thanks for having me.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Schmidt, Director, Economic Mobility, Global Community Development at Ford Philanthropy with Paul W. Smith on WJR. celebrating life's special moments. That, my friend, has been at the heart of Ahe Jewelers since Edmund T. Ahe, the patriarch, opened his first store in 1947. Over 75 years later, and across three generations, the Ahe family has since built an international reputation for award-winning artistry, superior selection, and exceptional customer experience. And with the holiday season upon us, Ahe's team of experts is standing by to help you select the perfect gift from their vast selection of coveted brands, including their own line of custom in-house jewelry. View their newly opened Patek Philippe showroom, the finest in the country, maybe the world. Also enjoy complimentary parking throughout all of Grosse Pointe Woods through the end of the year. Once again, courtesy of Ahe, they picked up the parking tab for you throughout Grosse Pointe Woods. But more importantly, they're there for you in extended holiday hours right now. And if you haven't been in Ahe Jewelers ever or even lately, you have no idea what you're missing out on. A vast array of spectacular gifts, presents, thank yous that you aren't going to find anywhere else. No pressure, just help. Helpful advice. Then when you make the purchase, they don't say, oh, okay, oh, do you want that wrap? That'll be $5. Are you kidding me? The Ahes would have it no other way. They do fabulous gift wrapping, obviously for free. And you'll love the present, and the only person who will love it more is the person you give it to. Experience the magic of Ahe's commitment to giving customers more than they expect. Visit Ahe Jewelers in Grosse Pointe Woods, extended holiday hours during this holiday month of December. It is 12:45 at WJR. Well, Rocky Ritzkowski needs very little introduction. He is a fill-in host on most or many of our shows. He is a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army, and he weighs in on all things America and America's security. And that's why we have him on with us right now. Rocky, good afternoon. Nice to have you here. Merry Christmas. Happy holiday to you.
Hey, good afternoon to you, too, and to the entire WJR family. And you and Kim, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You and Amalia have any big plans? Are you having the family all over there? Are you going somewhere? What's up?
Actually, we're spending one day with her family, one day with my family. So it's a great holiday season.
I understand that for sure. Well, all right, so let's get to the business at hand, and that is the U.S. Coast Guard is pursuing an oil tanker in international waters near Venezuela. This would be, if I'm not mistaken, if we would take this one, if we haven't already, it would be the third tanker now?
That is correct. It's the third tanker.
And nobody seems to be fighting us on the right to do this in international waters, right?
Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Venezuela, Cuba, Iran, North Korea, China, Russia, all the
please, Rocky, I'm talking about significant, honest countries, and you haven't named one yet.
Well, that's true. And what's interesting here is that the reason why, so that people understand exactly why we are blockading and taking these tankers and moving them to U.S. ports or U.S. naval facilities, is because this oil is sanctioned oil. This is oil that's coming from Iran or other sanctioned countries carrying either Russian sanctioned oil or Iranian sanctioned oil. And that is not allowed to move or be sold to any of these countries, especially in our hemisphere. And that's not just the U.S. saying that. That is the world, the United Nations saying that. So basically the U.S. has the authority to blockade and take these ships if it's proven that this oil is coming from either Russian oil or Iranian oil. Now, what's interesting is the Coast Guard that's operating these missions are operating it with the Navy. So that people understand, the Coast Guard is not part of the Department of War, formerly the Department of Defense. They are part of Department of Homeland Security. So under wartime conditions or missions, what's called Title 10 missions, where they can be activated as part of the Navy, the Coast Guard has been given that authority under a special operation, and they are acting with the Navy, the Air Force, and the Coast Guard to take these ships.
Well, now, there's the kind of knowledge and explanation, Rocky Retkowski, we wouldn't get without you. So thank you for that. And by the way, our Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says, don't you doubt it. The United States is going to continue to pursue the illicit movement of sanctioned oil because it's used to fund narco-terrorism. And who can be against fighting that?
Well, I guess those that are part of the narco-terrorist trade.
Yeah, well, and, of course.
Yeah. And listen, it's also funding fentanyl. China is sending fentanyl through Venezuela now. We used to remember when we were growing up, when I was a kid, Mexico and Colombia were the big narco countries, the nations. And now a lot of those narco camps and cocaine facilities and manufacturing and other drugs, illicit drugs, have moved out of Colombia and predominantly moved into Venezuela, where they have the security and the support of the Maduro regime. And Maduro is basically a puppet of Russia and China now. But Maduro, and by the way, another thing that people may not know, is Maduro's security is not Venezuelan. He does not have any Venezuelan police around him or military security. He has Cuban military, Cuban Special Operations Forces, providing him the security, because a lot of that money and oil, the sanctioned oil, is refined and sent to Cuba. And right now, Cuba is also suffering, just like Venezuela, major, major economic problems inside Cuba because they're not getting that oil.
Interesting. Another interesting point that you bring to the table for us. No surprises here. The president said he would do it, and we ought to know by now when he says he's going to do something like this, and he can do it, he does. And that is, the U.S. military launched retaliatory strikes Friday against dozens of ISIS targets in Syria.
Yeah, and by the way, if I can also say about Venezuela, I truly believe that we will be involved in an airstrike battle on the ground in Venezuela within the next 2 to 3 weeks. But the Syrian issue is an ISIS issue, where ISIS obviously has training camps in about 70 different locations throughout Syria and the western portion of Iraq. And many people may not understand, why are we, again, outside the United States flexing our muscle? Well, ISIS regrouped, has performed terrorist activity against the United States on our soil also, but also against our military personnel overseas. And so, as we saw last week, where they took two Iowa National Guard soldiers' lives, as well as an interpreter out of the United States, out of here, out of Michigan. And also, so that people may not realize, but most interpreters for our military come out of two states. You know what states those are, Paul W.?
Well, it sounds
they're
like
Michigan.
Michigan. Yeah.
Michigan and New Jersey. Most
Why
of the
is
interpreters,
that?
We have a large Lebanese, Iraqi, and Syrian population here in Michigan.
That are proud Christian Americans and want to help.
That's right. Many of them are Christian. Many of them are Sunni and Shia that obviously sign up to help the U.S. military. And quite a few of them put their lives on the line as well.
Quick note, a good note here. Happy to report that U.S. Central Command has confirmed in a statement that Jordanian fighter aircraft participated in Friday's airstrikes, fighting with us alongside America. Rocky Retkowski, retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army, all-around good guy, and most importantly, married to Amalia. Have a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful holiday, and may we all have a happy Holy New Year, Rocky. Thanks so much.
Amen. God bless you. And let's continue to pray for peace and prosperity in the new year.
I think that's exactly what we're all going to be doing. As we continue, stand by for news and hour number two coming up. Vince Guaraldi, you gave us such great music for Linus and Lucy here on 760 WJR, hour number two of Focus with Paul W. Smith. Relentless positive radio while you're on your way to making each and every day count. Each day is a gift. And don't forget the QTR. Quality time remaining. Nobody knows how much we have. And thanks again. Well, God does. But thanks again for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. We're underway in hour number two. AAA estimates 122.4 million of us will travel away from home this holiday period. That's a 2.2% increase from last year, making another record-breaking year for holiday travel. Travel at airports expected to experience peak season crowds. AAA projects over 8 million travelers will fly this season, with domestic round-trip airfare averaging about $900, which is a 7% increase from last year. The majority of holiday travelers, estimated at 109.5 million, will drive, accounting for about 89% of travelers, signaling heavy traffic on major routes on Christmas as Christmas approaches. So you know the usual. You pack along your patience. You know what it's going to be like traveling. It's going to be busy, and just be aware of that. And it won't be as bad as it would be if you go in there thinking, where are all these crowds? Or what's all this traffic on the road? Are you kidding?
I also feel like every year since COVID, we've been setting records, probably because everyone had
back.
Everyone had to stay home, and then they realized that, you know, you only get so many holidays, so they're making up for lost time.
That's right. You only get so many holidays. Yeah. As usual, the least amount of traffic will be on the holidays themselves, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. And to avoid the worst congestion, avoid driving after 9 p.m. Before 1 p.m. through December 23rd. So, well, it's 1 o'clock now. Get out of the house! This is not very helpful, but it's true for tomorrow, too. Get out of the house before 1 p.m. tomorrow.
Friday, there was nobody on the road, which was nice.
That is nice. After Christmas, traffic will be lighter before 11 a.m. from December 26th through December 28th and before 10 a.m. on December 29th and December 30th. It's a little more than that I don't want to have to think about. So anyway, you're going to get traffic. You know that. The rest of it is, I think this is the last night of Hanukkah. You know when Christmas is this week. And then Kwanzaa starts December 26th. I don't know of any other holidays, but if we did...
I believe Festivus is tomorrow.
Festivus for the rest of us?
Yes, December 23rd, 2025. So.
Well, there you are.
Should we air our grievances?
No.
Okay. So we kind of do that every day, don't we?
This is a talk show.
Yeah.
We have grievances coming out of our ears.
It's the one day we won't talk about our grievances.
They say, Paul, why don't you do a podcast? I do, noon to two.
Right.
Monday through Friday.
The old-fashioned way.
Yeah. Don't forget what Dave Meter told us about the creator of Trove Marketplace. Really wonderful. Go to trovemarket.com, trovemarket.com. And buy some products made by people with disabilities who are not letting their disabilities hold them back. So I hope you can do that. And don't forget, too, the Children's Center Auto Glow is coming up. Without question, Lisa and Bill Ford's and Leah and Jim Farley's favorite philanthropic
event,
I guess is a better way to put it, the Children's Center, helping amplify the voices of Detroit's most vulnerable children. Autoglow 2026. It's going to celebrate Ford's racing 125-year legacy as America's race team. And it's going to be there at the train station, Michigan Central Station. And right now you can get a deal on tickets right up through, I think I wrote this down right, through December 27th. And you go to thechildrencenter.com, thechildrencenter.com. A couple more things I just wanted to mention. Oh, you know who I hear from? I love hearing from Dick Hafner.
Mm-hmm.
He is the master. He is the patriarch of news. I don't know. Give me some other good things I could say about him. He is the leader. He is...
The icon.
The icon. That's a good one. So he heard me talking earlier about how we raise money, and I mentioned Steve Finitary, having management that not only allows it but encourages it. But he says, Paul, I carefully read all the trades. Oh, no, I carefully read all the trades. I am positively certain that WJR raises more money for good causes than any other station in the country. And I know that. I say that. And he says even in the New York, L.A., and Chicago markets. And he went on to say, and I think Ford does the same thing in the corporate world. Why? I think it's because it's a Detroit thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's right. I've said it a million times.
I mean, we have...
No one is more philanthropic than the listeners to this radio station and the people who live in Detroit. Go ahead.
I mean, we have two radiothons that clear $1 million every time. And then we've got all the other great fundraisers.
About $10 million net dollars with the Paul W. Smith Golf Classic, which
right.
has been taken over now by Lomas Brown Jr. And we're going to talk to him about that coming up. And all of these different, I mean, we just raise millions of dollars every year. Okay, a couple of quick notes. Jake Paul, what a blowhard. Somebody beat his butt.
See, I didn't even know that he was fighting this weekend until I
didn't either. I mean, it's fallen off. Nobody cares.
Right. Well, yeah, because he was fighting a legit boxer. And unfortunately, boxers aren't big stars like they used to be back in Mike Tyson's day. But I didn't know he was fighting until I kept seeing the video of him getting knocked out all over the place.
And a broken jaw in the hospital.
Yeah.
So his big mouth got shut by a real boxer instead of a senior citizen.
Got bigger, actually. Because his jaw's broken.
Okay. Oh, my God. Really? On the technicality of how... Okay, never mind. Did anyone watch Saturday Night Live? I did not watch it all, but I saw a couple of tearful moments from
Bowen Yang.
I really wonder why he's leaving now. They're supposed to leave before the season.
That's what I was saying to Danielle before. Like, why did he leave in the middle of the season instead of at the end of this season or the beginning of last season?
And it can't be because Lorne Michaels was mad at him or anything, because nobody's left that show getting as many kisses as he did.
Right.
I mean, he had at least two segments where he was reflecting on leaving the show as the character he was playing.
Danielle said maybe he's got something big coming up. I don't know. That would be my only explanation because, I don't think he was on the outs with the show at all.
I don't think so either, yeah. Well, he's got a lot going on. There's no question about that. And this is the problem. There's so many problems with social media. I am on Instagram. Find me at Paul W. Smitsta. Paul W. Smitsta. I'm on Instagram. I can't help myself. But this came to me. It says, yes, he was wrong, but this is why Trump said what he said. Liberals say much worse, and it's unrightly excused. Well, liberals do say a lot, and it's unrightly excused by the lamestream institutional media. But this is a quote that I can't find anywhere, and I don't believe it until I find it from another source. But they're putting online that Rob Reiner said in July of 2024, when asked about the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, they're saying Rob Reiner said, quote, "Too bad he turned his head. Maybe next time they won't miss." Mm. I have to tell you something. I tried all weekend to find that quote anywhere attributed to Rob Reiner. I can't find it.
Well, especially because there's video of him going around in an interview talking about what a terrible thing the Charlie Kirk assassination was.
Right.
So you would think that he would have a similar thought, even though he wasn't a fan of the president or Charlie Kirk. At least he had some humanity.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that's how most sane people reacted.
Right.
Not people who celebrated either one of those people being shot at and one killed.
Right.
There's just no way to justify that. That makes any human sense at all. But again, this is a reminder. We have to be very careful with what we believe when we see it in social media. Heck, it's hard enough believing things we see in newspapers and other places now, but there's no editor for social media. There's nobody standing there saying, oh, no, that's not correct. You can't say that. That's not true. There's nobody.
Right. They got rid of them.
Anyway, well, they never existed in social media, and there are fewer and fewer of them in the regular institutional media. All right, all of that aside, the one, the only, and we're hoping this is going to work, we're connecting all the wires, Danielle has got the paper cups out, the Dixie cups. They're all connected. We don't have a broken string in between. Lomas Brown Jr. up next here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. Well, that's much happier music than the story I have to do right now, as the Detroit Lions playoff hopes took a big hit yesterday. 29-24 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and even more painfully right there at Ford Field. Wild finish, I can tell you that. The game ended when a last-second touchdown on a lateral from Amon-Ra St. Brown to Jared Goff was called back for offensive pass interference on St. Brown as time expired. They didn't even get a chance to redo the play or anything. Forget the penalty. They called it on Isaac Tesla a few plays earlier. Pass interference again. Now, look, the Lions should never have been in that position, but they were. But you never want to see these games ending based on calls from the stripes. Lomas Brown Jr., Detroit Lions legend, co-host of Sports Wrap with Lomas Brown and Anthony Bellino, or affectionately known as AB, is weeknights at 6 right here on WJR. He, of course, is the color analyst for the Detroit Lions Radio Network. He's a Football Hall of Fame semifinalist and all-round great, sweet, giant of a man. Lomas, welcome back to Focus with Paul W. Smith. It is a pleasure, my friend. Happy holiday. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy whatever you celebrate. We celebrate it with you.
I love you, legend. You are the man. It is great to be on with you. Anytime I'm on with you, that's my Christmas present, legend.
aren't you nice? Listen, I want to say something I never did. I never thought of this when I was doing the golf tournament, but it came to me while I was putting the show together. I thought, giving a playing spot to someone you love in next year's Lomas Brown Jr. Golf Classic is a wonderful Christmas gift.
Oh,
a wonderful Christmas gift.
Yeah.
So I never thought of that before today, and I'm thinking it now. So where do people need to go where they can, last minute for that person, they don't know what to get for them, get them a playing spot in Lomas Brown Jr.'s Golf Classic?
Absolutely. Oh, I love that, legend. That is a great idea, man. I mean, and of course, don't forget, now we got the Paul W. Smith Legacy Award that we're going to continue for throughout. This is going throughout. And I'm thinking about, too, legend, the winning team's getting little replica Lombardi trophies as
wow.
The winning team.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very
Absolutely.
Cool. And it's at that Country Club of Detroit course,
yes,
one of the finest
is.
In the country. And you don't get a chance like this very often to play that course. So what's the website again that they go to get these tickets for a great
yep.
Christmas gift?
So the Lomas Brown Jr. Foundation.org, or you could go to Lomas Brown Jr. Golf Classic.com. So those would be the websites, the two places that you could go to purchase your tickets. July the 13th, 2026, that's a Monday. So it's coming up. It's coming up soon, legend. It'll be here soon.
Well, it's great, and it only continues to get better. Now, that aside, I wish that we could say that about our Lions. They've been great, but they are not continuing to get better. Give us your take on it.
Yeah, you know, it was very, very disappointing. And you know what, legend? I think the thing that disappointed me the most was that we knew that was basically a playoff game, and we didn't come out with the intensity, with the urgency that we needed to come out with, knowing that that was basically almost an elimination game. And that, I think I was disappointed about that. And, of course, like you said, you never want to leave it in the hands of the referees to determine the outcome of a game. Unfortunately, we put ourselves in that position where we left it in their hands and the outcome wasn't what we wanted it to be or really expected it to be. So we just got to retool and get ready for Minnesota a couple of days from now on Christmas Day and see what we can do against this team to kind of keep our slim playoff hopes alive.
Yeah, because, you know, we've talked about this throughout the season. There were times it was in our hands. It's not in our hands anymore. We have to win both games, and that still doesn't get us in, because that means we win the last two games, but Green Bay then has to lose their next two games. Yeah, and the likelihood of that, I don't think that's very likely.
No, and you never want it like that, right? You always, being a professional athlete, you always want to be able to control your own destiny. And you're right about that. Now we've gotten to the point where it's really not up to us. Yes, we can only control what we can, which is to try to win the next two games, starting with this next game on Thursday. But you're right. We need so many things to happen for us to even get invited to the dance. And you never want to be in that position.
Let me ask you a couple of other little things. We've got the legend, Lomas Brown Jr., co-host of Sports Wrap with Lomas Brown and Anthony Bellino, weeknights at 6. You know him, too, as color analyst for the Detroit Lions Radio Network. All-round guy, and should be a shoe-in. I don't mean to jinx it, but for the Football Hall of Fame, he's one of the semifinalists. And the thing I want to bring up is, here we have this Pittsburgh Steelers star wide receiver, DK Metcalf, taking a swing at a Detroit Lions fan at the game yesterday at Ford Field. Second quarter, CBS cameras catch Metcalf getting into some kind of verbal altercation with a Lions fan holding some Steelers attire while hanging over the ledge. We don't know exactly what happened, but Metcalf eventually threw a punch in the direction of the Lions fan, and the referees didn't see it, so nothing happened. Now, I don't know if the league has finally spoken out on it yet. I don't even know. I haven't heard anything, but, I mean, what a mistake.
Oh, that's going to cost him. It really is. Legend, I know a suspension is going to follow that because, again, you don't want that type of interaction between the fans and players because it could get out of control. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because think about it. If that fan would have retaliated and he would have got into it with that fan, guess what? As a teammate, you're going over there to help your teammate. And then, you know, eventually it's an all-out brawl, something like what we had at the Palace years and years ago.
That's what I thought of when you said that. Yeah, man.
Yes, they don't want that. That's just not a good look for the league or anybody. So I expect the suspension to come behind this once they take a good look at this and make their judgment about it.
Well, it's very bizarre because, yeah, I don't know who's telling the truth, and I won't make a judgment based on that, but I'd heard that the fan said that he merely used Metcalf's full name. I don't know what DK stands for, and I don't even care, but I do know this. Metcalf is a pro. He's been around long enough. He knows not to get involved with the fans. He should let whatever the fans say or yell to him roll off his back and continue to go on and play.
And, Legend, you know, it's an emotional game. We're wound up. It's really an emotional game. But you have to channel that emotions in the right way. And he should have been channeling it towards the Detroit Lion players, not the fans. So, yeah, it was just an all-out mistake by DK. And it's going to cost him. I keep saying that. But once that gets reviewed and everything comes out, it is going to cost him a few bucks. I guess he got the pockets deep enough to take that fine or that suspension that he may get.
Does anyone else even know what DK stands for with Metcalf?
You know, that's a great question. Now, I played with his uncle, Eric Metcalf. We played together in Arizona for a few years, so I know his uncle very well. But, no, I don't know what DK stands for.
It stands for DeKalin.
Oh, wow, he's mad. Okay, I would be mad about that, too, if my name was DeKalin, too. So I understand, Legend.
Wait a minute. DeKalin, that's far from all the things I can think of saying, but I really need this radio job, so I'm not going to say them. But it did occur to me with DK. I thought, wait a minute, does that? No one would name their kid that, would they? I don't know.
Right.
With head in there? No, it wouldn't be. No, it isn't. Lomas Brown Jr., Detroit Lions legend, pulling for you all the time. You are always going to be our Hall of Famer. We love you. We'll be listening. 6 o'clock weeknights on WJR Sports Wrap with Lomas Brown Jr. and Anthony Bellino. And don't forget, what a nice Christmas present. Last minute, go online to LomasBrownJrGolfClassic.com, LomasBrownJrGolfClassic.com. It's July 13th of 2026. Get a playing spot or two for someone you love and give it to them for Christmas. They'll be thrilled. All right, Lomas, God bless you. Love you, man, and best to you and your lovely wife, Wendy.
Thank you, legend. Love you more, my good man. Take care of yourself. Thank
you so much. Merry Christmas, 131 WJR. And we're so glad that we are here together and spending some time in this holiday season, Christmas this week, Hanukkah ending today, tonight, and then Kwanzaa starting December 26th. We had some holiday traditions around our house. Maybe you do too. I might suggest, if you're lucky enough to have mom and dad still around, grandma and grandpa, interview them with your cell phone. Everyone has the ability now. Just use the cell phone, do a video, and talk to them and ask them questions about the past and things that one day you won't have them around to ask. So do that. It's a very good thing. I noted that Kim sent this along. National Date Nut Bread Day is today. Now, I don't remember having a lot of date nut bread, but it reminded me, my mother, Sweet Marie, it seems like whenever there was an occasion, she pulled out a loaf of banana bread. It's like, I don't know, she must have been baking banana bread all the time and then freezing it and then bringing it out. Because if there was an occasion, Sweet Marie's banana bread was there.
You never know when you might need an emergency banana bread.
And I'm telling you.
Also, yes, banana bread is not hard to make. So.
Are you like putting down my mother?
No, I'm saying it's very quick.
Okay, good.
It's right. Very quick and painless.
I got so very defensive.
No. She probably had that memorized.
Well, I'm sure she did, and it was delicious, and it was nothing. To me, right now, thinking about it, makes my mouth water to have a warm piece of banana bread with real butter on it.
Yes.
Really good.
Melted butter is key.
It really is. We did Letter to a Friend to start the show. This is the reading my father did many, many, many years ago, William D. Smith of Monroe. And my mother wrote a song which ended up in a teacher's magazine called The Constructor many, many years ago. It's called Oh, Now It Is Christmas. We used to have a thing called The Christmas Sing that I keep hearing may or may not come back. I thought it was wonderful. It was a wonderful experience years ago. And Larry Santos used to help us with that. And he helped us with this, my mother's song that she wrote called Oh, Now It Is Christmas.
Oh, now it is Christmas. Oh, now it is here. It's time to sing carols of gladness and cheer. Now here's to my neighbor. Now here's to my friend. May we all be merry together again.
Sweet little song.
Now can you sing it with me?
Yes,
oh,
I sing
with
him. That's
Christmas.
My voice with him.
Oh, now it is here. It's time to sing carols of gladness and cheer. Now here's to my neighbor. Now here's to my friend. May we all be merry together again.
For Paul's
Isn't
mom.
That nice? Yeah. For my mother.
And it was a surprise to her. We didn't tell her we were going to do that, and we did that on the live broadcast. And
how did she react?
Larry Santos made even me sound good. You notice how he chose to go high or low based on my
I was going to say,
singing.
That wasn't you on the high note, was it?
No, it was Larry. She loved it. She was always the backstage or out in the house mm-hmm. with the Monroe Community Players. She never was on the stage as the actor. She handled all the other stuff. And this put her front and center in that broadcast. It was very special.
Danielle knew the words. She was singing along. I haven't been working with you.
It is a simple little song, kind of like banana bread. It's simple to make. It's a simple song.
Simple but good.
Simple but good, and I watched you. I could see you, Danielle, mouthing the words, and I'm sure my mother up there in heaven is loving it. She absolutely loved it. She loved it when I went into radio at 15 finally somebody in the family is going professional in showbiz.
That's right.
And at $1.75 an hour, I never thought of it as going professional.
That's how you guys became the first family of Monroe. Though you won't admit it.
I don't know that we were ever the first family of Monroe, but we loved Monroe, and Monroe had no reason not to love us, especially my brother Mark, who was a great attorney, and my dad, who was a great insurance man, and my grandma and grandpa, Edna and Harry. Harry lived to be 100, Edna 98, and of course my mother, Sweet Marie, taking care of all of them till the end of their lives, and then she made it to 96. Apologized to me for not making it to 100. And I said, Mother, this, you don't need to make it to 100 unless you really want to.
Right. All of us, I think all of us would take having our mothers until 96.
Oh, absolutely. Which is why I'm reminding people they will not have their mother forever, no matter what age they live to. Get out the iPhone or whatever phone you have, use the camera, and capture them. But do a little interview with them. Ask some questions about the past. Because I have to tell you, there are questions that come up for me now. I got nobody to ask. There was my mother, and then there was my brother. And they're both gone. And my dad's been long gone. So I there's nobody to ask these questions of. And all the grandparents and aunts and uncles, other than Aunt Marianne in Monroe, who wasn't, as it turns out, really my aunt, but in the Lebanese community, everybody was your aunt or uncle.
Was she like your auntie?
Well, I never said auntie.
Yeah.
I never did, but aunt. I know that sounds horrible now. Aunt.
Aunt, right.
Aunt. Sounds like a commercial for one of these exterminators.
Aunt, aunt. Right. It's that Michigan accent of ours. We pronounce everything with the hard R. Hard A, I mean.
R.
Michigan Pirates of the Great Lakes.
All righty. We continue. Coming up is Ryan Ermani, and we have a few more things to solve and talk about here on this Monday, December 22nd, Christmas week, end of Hanukkah, and just ahead of Christmas, and then the Kwanzaa. So we got lots to be happy about, my friends, lots to be grateful for. Let's not forget that, no matter what. Lions aside, we continue in Focus on WJR. Oh, I love the sounds of the season, that is for sure. Doesn't it just make you feel good? I hope it does. Boy, if it doesn't, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's just, it's a special time of year. And for those who may be sitting around saying, well, you know, I'm alone, I don't have family around here, or whatever you might be thinking or saying, I just want you to know, as long as WJR is on the radio, you're never alone. And remember that. And that goes for Christmas Eve. That goes for Christmas morning. That goes for this entire holiday period. Just remember, you are never alone. Please. It's important for us for you to know that. All right. Did you say you may have what was being said on the sidelines there that got that football player to take a swing at one of our fans?
Yeah, DK Metcalf took a swing at one of the fans during the game yesterday. Now, the fan said that all he did was call DK Metcalf by his full government name, DeKalen Metcalf, which he doesn't like. But this is from Yahoo Sports. Steelers wide receiver DK Metcalf, he had a history with the Lions fan he confronted during Sunday's game, per Tom Pelissero, who is a reputed NFL reporter. Now, it says that Metcalf reportedly had the same fan in Seattle reported to security last year. So it sounds like these two had some kind of history.
How do you have a history with a professional football player that's out on the field like that? That's astonishing to me.
And then it says a source close to Metcalf says the fan called Metcalf's mom a derogatory word and called Metcalf someone we both know you don't call a black man. So that was from the Tom Pelissero report in Yahoo Sports, which if he said the word, I wouldn't blame him for taking a swing at the fan, if that's what happened.
Yeah, well, we don't know. I don't know how we find out either.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if there's microphones around or what.
It's he said, she said at this point.
But it's interesting that
there's no she as far as I know.
It's interesting that they reportedly also had a run-in in Seattle. So I don't know. I don't know if because
that's bizarre.
Because the guy said he's a Detroit Lions fan from here. So I don't know if he travels around harassing DK Metcalf or if he's lying.
He was dressed kind of weird too. Didn't he have some weird hair?
Yeah, like
or
a blue wig or something on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, whatever. Got our attention. Would it have changed the game if they threw him out right then and there? If the refs had seen that, I don't even know.
No, I don't think so, because he kind of was in his own head after that. But what I thought was going to happen, Paul, was I'm like, watch this guy who should have been thrown out of the game. He's going to catch the game winning right. touchdown.
Right. That would have been. I mean, that's the way it was going.
Right. but no, I mean, he should have been thrown out of the game if the story about what the fan called him was true. He should also be ejected. But yeah, DK Metcalf wasn't impactful enough on the game for it to.
Quick one, and I can't find it. I know you sent it to me, but I do want to know more about Lansing lawmakers' proposed plan to exempt childless people from public school taxes. I got to tell you, having been a taxpayer for a long time, when I was growing up, my parents had to make a big deal sacrifice to send me to parochial schools while they still paid for the public schools. And I never thought that was fair, but they're not going to say, well, if you have children and you decide to send them one place or another, mm-hmm. that'll affect your taxes. But they are saying, and this sounds fair, if you don't have any children at all, maybe you shouldn't have to pay taxes for the schools.
Well, look, I'll take the extra money. I don't have any kids. But I also don't mind my tax dollars going to the schools because I understand, you know, you need an educated workforce for the economy and to compete on the world stage. Again, I would take the extra money, but I'm not upset that my tax money goes towards K-12 schools.
Well, let me tell you, for those of us who thought there'd be some kind of a positive change when they started saying the lottery money that would be going to the schools, and then you see the billboards that say that they've given like $1 billion a year to the school system or something. Am I wrong? Am I misremembering this?
I don't know. I haven't seen those billboards, but...
But my point is, if it was $100 million, let alone $1 billion, what in the world would the schools do without that money now that came from the lottery?
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of, as Ann would say, that's a lot of potatoes.
Right.
$1 billion or even $100 million, but $1 billion. Are you kidding me? Okay. Well, whatever. So that's interesting. Anything to bring taxes down, I'm all for.
Right.
We have the news coming up next. Stand by for news. But then, of course, it's JR Afternoon with the one and only Ryan Ermani.
Paul See, W., I'm, you're I'm, hired. I'm, you're hired.
You took the thought right out of my mind. I was thinking, I could be your front man. I could be your Ed McMahon, only nobody knows Ed McMahon anymore. I don't even remember the guy's name. I ran into him on the street in New York that does Jimmy Fallon.
I don't know that guy's name.
I don't even know his name.
I don't know that
guy. I ran into
him
on the street, and I said, you do a nice job. And he goes, thank you. And I don't know your name, but I think you do a nice job.
Oh, well, thanks for that intro, Paul W. Smith. And let me tell you, thanks for everything that you have done for me and welcoming me here in 2025. You're the best, buddy. Merry Christmas.
All right. Well, then let me just say that is my Christmas present to you. Are we covered? Is that okay?
Done.
Thank
but
you
we do
much.
Have to get dinner on the books in 2026.
We absolutely will get dinner on the books. I've got catching up to do.
Yes.
Oh, I got to go.
Got to go.
Regards, Paul W. Smith.